That's improv, bitch. Improv, bitch.
I mean, after all, you're nerds.
Improv.
Nerds.
Improv.
Nerds.
Improv.
Nerds.
Yes, 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 yes. This is Improv Nerd. I'm Jimmy Corain, and our guest today is Jet Eveleth, and she shares her serious side with us. She talks about clowning and the influence it has in her work as an improviser, and she also talks about getting engaged in her Saturday Night Live audition.
Now, your real name is what?
Jessica.
And so how does someone go from Jessica to Jet?
When I was born, my sister was only two, so she called me Jet Jet. And stuff forever.
So you're that's it's Jet Jet.
Yeah, but then everyone called me Jet. My family called me Jet. So when I went to kindergarten, I wrote Jet on my papers. That's all I know.
Okay. And you trained as a clown. Now, what's so funny?
I don't know.
How does somebody who grows up in a middle class family?
Probably not even middle class.
Okay. Well, that would probably...
I wish. I
did you say, like, when I want to join the circus, I want to become a clown? How did
no,
you become a clown?
I mean, and what I do is more theatrical clowning.
Okay.
Like, it's more...
You don't do birthday parties or circuses?
No, no. It's more born from Commedia, and then it just... Yeah, so it's more theater. Theater for middle-class people, really, is what Commedia was, right? So, yeah. So that the clown from that, like, it's Lecoq style, so it's... The idea that everything that you are a little too Brecht in the way that you admit there's an audience, and that the theater that you admit that you're in theater the whole time, so that anything can be used. So like if you notice a flash, like that can make you feel, because that would make you feel there's no fourth wall, and that you're willing to sort of play an archetype of yourself, which is a reflection of humanity to the audience.
No, but this is not a test. This is not a test. Are you nervous?
No, but I feel
because
like
I've never seen you like this. You're very formal and very, like, because usually you just you put a dime in you and you just go.
Yeah, well, I'm just trying to explain what clown is, because I think people go, what's clown? Is it the circus? I'm like, no, this is what it is. So I guess I get formal when I
So you're a little defensive. Like
yes, like I feel like you're attacking me.
I'm not attacking you, Jet. I'm judging you.
Yeah, it's a difference. Well, you said you do birthday parties.
Right.
What? No. No, I mean, there's so much different kind of clown. But yeah, you're right. I get very academic when I explain clown because I'm like, it's an art form. It's like, I guess it's the same way as improvisers, where people go, okay, I know what you do. Whose line is it anyway? You're like, oh, actually, what we do is we take a suggestion and we make a play in the moment. You know, like, we want
right.
people to know
right.
that
respect
it's...
us.
Yeah. And then you order them, like, a copy of Trust Us. This is all made up, and they never watch it.
And that is the Dave and TJ and Dave tape.
Yes, which is, I think, a better feel of what we do in Chicago.
Right.
It's what they do, which is awesome. I'd love for people to think that I do that.
Right. So. And there's only one copy of that. And don't the improvisers just pass it around to each other?
You can get on Netflix.
This, what?
It's one secret copy.
Yes. I've never seen you like this.
Sorry.
Okay, that's all right. I like it, actually.
Okay, good.
Now, you auditioned for Saturday Night Live. It was your second audition. Mm-hmm. Tell us what happened this time.
What happened?
No. Tell us what happened. Tell us the story. How'd you get the audition and when you went there?
Oh, they come to Chicago and they look at showcase at I.O. in Second City. And so I did pieces for my show with Paul.
Paul Britton, who actually got hired.
Yep.
Okay.
Who actually got hired.
What's so funny about that?
I just like that word, actually.
Okay.
He actually got hired. We did some of our scenes for the showcase, because we were running our show at that time anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And then we both got flown out together, and I actually used him in my audition, because he's so good. And it was awesome, because we were in the dressing room together, which is, like, the best. You know, it, like, doesn't have to be a lonely experience, so... I was using him in my audition, and he went before me, and then he was like, do you want to hang out? And I was like, yeah, I would so much rather hang out with you, because you sometimes wait for a while.
Uh-huh.
So we hung out in my dressing room the whole time, which was awesome.
And what did you do when you went for your audition?
You do characters' impressions.
And what I don't see you as someone who does impressions.
Yeah.
Like, it's like for me, you are such an artist, and to do an impression, what impression did you do?
I did some, you know... I do a lot. I do a
you
lot.
You do?
Yeah.
Could you give us one?
Yeah, who do you... I mean, I think
I love impressions.
You do?
I love impressions, clowning.
I have two big gifts.
Okay.
That I honed when I was a child.
Okay.
My dad thinks puns are the funniest thing ever.
I don't see you as a pun person.
I don't think they're funny.
I don't either.
I can do them because I wanted to connect to my father.
Okay.
And then my mom thinks the highest art form of all time is impressions.
It's funny how you ended up in clowning.
So I can do impressions and I can do puns just so I can earn my parents' love.
Okay.
But I don't identify with them at all, you know? So at a very young age, I could do impressions because I grew up in a family of performers. And we traveled around the country.
Right. And here's my youngest daughter. She's going to be a clown someday.
I love that every time you come back, you're always like, I mean, I can't admit you that you're a clown. But I mean, I'm like a clown and an improviser, too.
Right. How did you go from clowning to improvising?
I did improv first.
Okay.
Yeah. The clown thing is in the past maybe 5 years. I actually think I did the clown to just be a better improviser. And then I was like, this is really cool. And it's all kind of the same thing. You know?
Like, in terms of, explain that.
It'd be kind of like, I'm guessing if you talk to Tracy Letts and you're like, what's the difference between a Steppenwolf show and doing TJ and Dave? You'd be like, they're kind of similar. It's good performing. So it's like the same idea. Like, good clowning feels like you're in the same zone as good improv. The big difference would be, well, one of the big difference, obviously, being allowed to constantly acknowledge the audience. But the other big difference is, in clown, you really only follow the moment. And in improv, you are allowed to go to expand that, what that moment might be. So you're a little bit more thinking about the piece. I don't think about the story in improv at all. I'm not really interested in the story. If I was, I'd write a book. But, like, in improv, I think about the piece sometimes. And in clown, you never have to think about the piece. You can just play the moment.
Now, you talk about your relationship with the audience. Like, right now, what is your relationship with the audience?
I mean, I that's the cool thing about clown is all you have to do is get into a state where you can be susceptible.
So being clown, there's a vulnerability to being a clown?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. That's why they wear the nose, because it's a mask, so you don't identify as yourself.
I got to get myself a nose.
Yeah.
That's what I got to get myself.
Anyway.
Can we get back to Saturday Night Live for just a second?
That's all I want to talk about.
Really? Is this hard? Is this hard for you?
No, it's not.
Okay.
It's not.
How did you feel when we were very close this time to getting hired? How did you feel when you didn't get hired?
I think that day you're like, man. Like, I talked to Paul and I was like, I don't know, that audition, I don't know if I could do that again. Because it's a lot, you know, energetically.
Right.
But I think it takes about a day, at least for me. I don't know, everyone's different. A day of being like, oh man, that would be so fun. And then you're like, I gotta get back to work. It doesn't take you too long to be like, what's next?
How bad did you want it this time?
I wanted it more than I did the first time. The first time I didn't really feel ready. Mm-hmm. So I'm not somebody who's just like, oh man, I gotta be famous. That'd be a cool way to be famous. You know what I mean? I'm like, no, I don't want to be a fraud. I think that's one of my biggest fears, is to be a fraud.
And so if you got it, you would feel like you were a fraud?
Well, more the first time, I don't think I thought I'd be a fraud. I still thought I had something to contribute, but I was like, yeah, I didn't get it. It must not be meant to be right now. You know what I mean? I'm like, I gotta work more on my character's impressions. I got more to learn. I got more to, you know, play.
So how did you use the not getting it towards your career? Because I experienced you a lot more focused.
Yeah.
Do you think that's a true assessment?
And anytime you something doesn't go your way, I think you'll constantly have to reassess.
So. Or you just stay in bed. For me, it's like you either get really depressed and you want to kill yourself, and that's it, it's over. I know this is very exaggerated. Or it's like you just get up and you work harder. And I get the sense that you work harder, and now you're even... This show is an exception, but it seems like you're more... choosy on what you do. Is that fair?
Yeah, I'm way more choosy. Always. I'm trying to get more and more choosy. I think you spend like the first, what would you say? I don't know, it's different for everybody, but the first few years, doing as much as you can, and then the later part of your career, you say no all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And one of the agents I met with said, the way you become a star is by saying no all the time. like, there's really only a few stars out there, like Hollywood stars, it's because they'll only do really good show movies. Like, Leonardo DiCaprio will only work with, like, these four directors or something like
so
that.
So why do we say yes at the beginning?
I think we say yes to find our voice, and then once you find your voice, you have to say no, otherwise you're draining yourself and you're not really following your vision. So you have to hone your vision, but then once you know what it is, you have to do it. Like, why would you do a million projects?
Mine was always fear. Like, this is the next big thing. If I take this one, this is going to take me to L.A.
Wait a minute. Your fear was what?
My fear was that I was going to lose out on some sort of opportunity.
Oh.
No. That wasn't yours.
No, I don't think, like, if I do, like, a show at I.O. that there's going to be, like, a producer there watching.
So. I always do.
You do?
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's a producer here. I'm hoping something will happen.
I guess. But I'm finally at the point now where I'm like, even if there's a producer there, they'll be seeing me do something I don't like. Mm-hmm. So then I'll get more of that shit I don't like.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to be choosy because I go back and forth. I think we all want comforts and mm-hmm. we all want to be recognized. Mm-hmm. So I definitely have that in me. But I think there's also the part of me that's also maybe more powerful, which is freed of being a fraud. I don't want to be a fraud.
No. So. Do you feel like you're a fraud?
No,
when do you feel like you're a fraud?
Because I
do all
the
time.
Yeah, as an artist, you walk out tightrope.
Right.
So, no, sometimes I feel like a fraud. When I'm part of a bad show, mm-hmm. and I'll say, I mean, this might sound cocky, I never really feel that way with Reckoning. Even a bad show with a Reckoning is an artful bad show. Mm-hmm. It's like, we really failed tonight. We did some weird stuff, and it didn't work. But I'd rather that than a show that's kind of gets laughs that's real cheap. You know what I mean? I've been part of those, like, Two and a Half Men improv shows, and I don't want to be part of them. And I don't mean anything against Two and a Half Men. I guess what I mean is very generic, of, like, everyone will get this. You know? I just mean mainstream when I say that. Like, of, like, the whole audience went, like, that was comedy I could get. But nobody was, like, challenged.
In the audience?
Yeah, so I've been part of those shows, and everyone, you know, everyone was like, that was fun. Even the cast was like, that was fun. And I was like, I must be the weird one. I didn't think it was fun.
Let's improvise. Do you want to?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you warmed up? Are you?
I think so.
Is this, you know?
What do we?
Because I gotta tell you this. I've never seen you like this.
My God. Tell me.
I'll be honest. Like, there's almost like a reservedness.
Yeah, maybe I get that way.
You know?
Yeah. Maybe
were you nervous? Like, I was gonna, because on CIN you posted Jet.
Tells all
their secrets.
Yeah, maybe it's a subconscious thing about being recorded, though. Of okay, I'm being recorded.
But you were fine with it when we said...
No, I'm fine with it, but I mean a subconscious thing of how I approach it. I tend to get more professional or something.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yes. I want to ask you, because I experience you as a very private person off stage. Your characters are out there. They're brilliant. They're weird. They're goofy. You're private.
Yeah.
You're serious.
Yeah.
You're very focused. What are those characters trying to tell us about Jet?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. Like, I think, I'm finally coming to terms finally with the fact that I'm a weirdo.
Uh-huh.
I'm still a pretty private, quiet person. I think I'll always be that way. But maybe in the past year, I've really decided that when people say that I'm weird or crazy, that I'm not like, I'm like, yeah, they're right. You know, that's been a big switch in me.
I don't think people say weird or crazy
you. People say that.
Really? In what context?
Any context.
Where do you think the weird and crazy? We had messing on a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, not like her.
Okay. No, honestly, where's the weird?
I'm different than her, but.
But where's your weird and crazy? How does it show up? Because I don't see.
I think
it.
There's different reasons I've been called weird and crazy.
Okay, give me one.
A friend of mine once said that he overheard one of the interns at I.O. going, she always does something fucked up every show, or something like that. And I was like, really? Or something fucking crazy every show, or something like that. And I was like, huh, I do? And he was like, yeah, that show, I saw you, and you were drinking out of a condom. Like, you know, my character was, I think, drinking sperm. And I was like, oh, yeah. But then in my mind, I was like, yeah, but that was the character. Like, they were desperate for that. and she had already put some of it up inside of her, but I think that was like the last. It came from a serious font, in my opinion. You know?
No one's arguing.
And so I was like, yeah, I guess that does seem crazy. But then I've also heard people say I was crazy otherwise, like especially like dudes, you know.
Yes, and I want to talk about that because you would be in a lot of relationships. Go from one relationship to the next. Now you're getting married. Yeah. What has changed?
I think I've only dated 5 improvisers.
Okay, but that 5 improvisers, just so the audience knows, 5 improvisers, that's like being in 20 relationships, right? I mean, that takes years off your life.
Like, none of them live here, so it's awesome.
Okay, good. Is that how it yeah. ends? It breaks up? It's like, I'm going?
Like I'm like, one of us can't be here.
Okay, great.
No, it'd be too weird. No, what is that like to go for? I like it now.
Okay.
Yeah, but I liked it then, too. Does that sound too lame?
No, I just want to know what changed for you.
I think it was partly that I finally felt ready to be in something mm-hmm. serious, and I also met the person that I could be with all the time.
Has it helped with your career? Because moving in with Lauren, I got to tell you, I've never gotten better press for a show. She's also my publicist, so that helped. But, you know, I did the Playboy Club. I mean, things have exploded. Yeah. How has it changed?
I like it. I have way more focus because now I'm not doing that meeting ritual, mm-hmm. you know?
The meeting ritual of
going out and meeting people or trying to it's so nice. I love it.
Did you must have have people hit on you after the show and stuff, right?
Yeah, sometimes that happens, but my fiance does too.
Okay, great.
Yeah, he gets hit on
at the show.
Yeah, I saw him get hit on this week, and I didn't say anything. I just watched it. And is that weird? That I was like, well, I want to let him enjoy this, and she gave him her number.
Well, then
and
you
then he took it. And then later I brought it up. I was like, are you going to call her? And then he was like, I don't know.
All right. I say
I mean, he was playing along. He was like, no, she gave me your business card. And then I did see it in the trash. And then I took it out and put it under his pillow.
Can I say two words, passive aggressive?
At that point, we thought it was funny.
Okay, it was a joke.
Because he was like, where did this come from? And I was like, at that point, it was a joke.
And then he said you were weird and crazy?
No, I mean, we think that stuff's funny. I think the only way to deal with that stuff is to deal with it, you know, is to make light of it.
Yeah.
Talk about it. And I admitted it, too. I was like, oh, I don't think, like, I know that the way I feel is sensitive. Like, I'm the first person to admit that. Mm-hmm. And like, but I also think it's something we're both going to deal with.
Right.
So it's like, how do we deal with it graciously, but also admit that it feels good to be flirted with?
Yes.
Because I'm like, I think that feels good. And I could put myself in your shoes, too, and be like, this feels good. I'm not going to interrupt. But then I was like, your number, you went too far. And then I was like, I can't say nothing. You know what I mean? Like, had she just left, I would have never said anything. But then I was like, her number? I got to say something.
Well, good for you that you said something.
But then he was so cool. He was like, I think I already threw it out. And he did. He was single like for 4 years before he met me, so he could have had all the pussy he wanted.
Wow. All right. So let's improvise. What do you want to do? What are you feeling like doing?
I don't know. Do you have an idea?
I don't have any idea. Really? I want to share my improv fantasy because I've improvised with you a couple times. And I got to drop this expectation.
Okay.
Is like, I want Jet's approval. Yeah. Okay, I want Jet's approval. I want Jet to think I'm great, and then we do such a good job that next year we're auditioning for Saturday Night Live
together.
And you
and
get it, and I don't.
I use you in my thing.
Yes, and you get it, and I don't.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love that idea.
Right, and I'll just become more bitter. You know?
See, I don't think you're bitter. I think you're making work.
Pardon?
I think you're making work. So even if you do feel that way, I feel like. I don't know. That's the kind of bitter I like. Of like, yeah, I'm frustrated. I'm going to make work. I'm happy to be around those people.
Okay.
I'm really bored of people who are bitter and angry and don't do anything. They bore me.
You should have seen me about 6 months ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
6 months ago. Okay. So what do we want to do?
Well, I'm really open, but I know in the dressing room we were talking about crying.
Yes. And you want to share what we talked about in the dressing room?
Just that, in clown.
And it wasn't being recorded back then,
no,
so you should be free.
I have kind of a crybaby clown.
Right.
So so I just cry easily.
At least my clown. It's a sad clown.
But not always. I mean, it depends on the circumstances.
I love sadness.
You do?
I love it. I can't get enough sadness.
Okay.
I can't access it, but I love it.
What if... Okay. So what if we just did a scene and we're just in front of a casket and we know that the circumstances are sad, but then anything else is improvised?
Where are we?
Just in front of, like, at a funeral.
At a funeral. Okay, great. Do we have a relationship?
Yeah, I'm sure we do.
We'll find the relationship.
Yeah.
You can tell I'm scared.
Why would you be scared to play with me?
I'm just scared in general.
Oh, you're scared of it.
Yeah. Yes, I am scared.
But aren't you more afraid of their approval? Like, I'm more like, oh, God, I hope I'm not wasting their time.
Yes, I am. I'm afraid of everyone's approval.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not limited to
but
just
But then don't
you.
You find also that this helps sometimes. Then you meet the audience, and they're just... They're normal people. Like, sometimes I'll be like, sometimes when you have a great show and you have some creepy person who wants to talk to you after, you're like, oh, I almost wish I didn't have a great show. You know what I mean? Yeah. Has that ever happened to you? I think sometimes we give them too much credit.
No. Yeah. I love the creepies.
You do?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. God.
And they always come up. They're always like some weird, you know, like you're walking, you're leaving a show, and they jump out of a car. Aren't they always in some weird place? Or they invade your space?
I'm sure none of you guys are like this. But just you'll get somebody who's like, here's the worst part. Someone who goes, I don't mean to be creepy, but that was an okay performance. I'm just kidding. It was bad. Just kidding. It was good. No, it was terrible. I'm just kidding. And then it's so awkward. You're just like, I don't know what to say.
They're flirting with you.
Oh, not very well.
No, they're not.
And it's like, I'd rather you just be vulnerable. Like, I was just vulnerable in front of you for 45 minutes. So you could just come up to me and say, good show. And I bet the conversation would take off.
See, I don't think people realize when you're done doing a show, there's like this, unless it's your ensemble or the people you work with, you're like in this bubble. Do you feel this way? And I don't want anybody to come into that bubble. It's like I'm done, I've been vulnerable, I've shared myself on stage, and now the only people I can relate to for the next couple hours is people that were on stage with me.
I can talk to audience members if they're vulnerable too, because I agree that you feel very vulnerable. Like one of my clown teachers talks about how you feel kind of possessed, she calls it. Like, and you can see it after performers come off stage, they look a little possessed. They're still jazzed, they have adrenaline rush. They have noradrenaline, which comes after the adrenaline, which makes them feel really sensitive, that whole thing.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, but the point is, that's why you get really cranky. Have you ever got, like, in a note session, gotten cranky? Mm-hmm. That's like that noradrenaline, I guess, that's being produced after. That's like very, so that's why it's good to like wait to do notes sometimes.
Right.
But I feel like when somebody comes up and is, like, aggressive or something, I'm like, no, not the time, because I can't deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I really love vulnerable people, and I love really brave, vulnerable people. That's my favorite. I mean, that's why my fiancé is, I think, the epitome of that.
Okay, so how can we bring that to this scene?
I think being brave and vulnerable in the way that we take this seriously, but we make moves that are going to hurt us. That are going to cut our heart open in front of everybody.
Ooh.
My yoga teacher said today,
okay,
in class, she said, we're working on finding peace when things are challenging. That's the message of the class. There's a theme in Anusara Yoga. There's always a theme. And so she said, while we're in the middle of the chat, she said, my brother died when I was 15. And it hurt, and it still hurts. But it's made me braver, because now I know how to experience pain so I can experience life. And it was like, I mean, you know, of course I, like, welled up. But I was like, it's so true. Like, all we do is avoid pain, especially emotional pain. So it's like, what would that feel like to cut yourself open?
Well, we're going to see. All right. Do we want to bring the lights down? How do you want to do this? It's all up to you.
Yeah, let's bring the lights down, and then we'll just set it.
Okay, then when we come here, we're going to have a casket and we're in a funeral. Do you want the regular seats or do you... We got casters on these. I want to use them so I can use it as a tack right off. So we'll bring the real improv chairs here. Now, all right, so
okay.
We'll bring lights down and lights up.
She would die. There's more. I always think she would die. It's just, you don't think about it. You don't think about, oh, God. And there's nothing you can do before that to make this easier.
Is that why I left 5 or 6 messages on your voicemail and you didn't get back to me for a couple days?
Is what why?
That you didn't. Why didn't you call me back?
Why? Why would I call you back?
I said she's dead.
And I got the message.
Yeah, you got the message like 48 hours afterwards.
What did you want? What did you want? You wanted me to call you?
Yeah.
And say what?
I'm sorry to hear about I'm dying.
Oh, yeah. And then what would you say?
Then what I would say is like, you need to get on a plane from Oregon and come here and help me with the arrangements.
So? That's
so,
it?
Candy, why did you come back?
For my mother's funeral.
Oh.
Why? Why do you come back?
I don't know. I don't know. She said that she loved all of us equally.
What did you say?
I said, are you sure?
I'm talking about right now.
Right now?
Yeah. So you talked to her before she passed?
Yes. That was one of the messages I left on your answering machine.
Yeah, I got the message. She loved us all equally. I think that's the most retarded thing I've ever heard. For anyone. For you to be constantly proving, for a parent to be constantly proving how much they love their children equally, is such a fucking waste of time. Because the very fact that you're trying to prove it shows it's untrue. Just love. Why can't you just love your kids?
Because they don't perform the way I'd like them to. Okay? You don't have a special needs child, Kathy. You've never even been married. You've got one relationship next to the other.
Tell me what it's like to be so happy.
Fuck you. Fuck you.
I just love the idea of you giving advice.
Oh, really? You know I'm a guidance counselor. Okay?
I know you are. I know you are.
You know how many people I've helped?
No. How many?
I don't know, okay? But I've worked there for about 12 years. I can't do the math, Kat, okay? God damn it.
You're still angry at him?
Yeah.
You are?
Yeah. I'm angry at you, too.
Why?
Because you left. And you get to do what you want to do. Do you think I wanted to be a guidance counselor? I did it because that's what Dad did. He didn't do it very well. You know what? This is what frustrates him. I'm trying to connect with you.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm trying to be vulnerable. And all you do is you go...
I'm sorry.
Yeah, because you're so self-absorbed. Go back to your paints and your canvases and all your nude painting with the penis skirts or whatever you do. Yes, they are. I've seen your paintings on your website. It's all these women with the huge breasts and the penis skirts.
Penis skirts.
Yeah. And I'm jealous.
Yeah.
I am jealous that you get to express yourself and I've never gotten.
Because you're boring?
What is that? Okay, I'm boring. So what?
No.
What?
You aren't okay with being boring. You just said so what and I don't believe you. Even she thinks you're boring. She's dead.
Are you okay with being boring?
You think I'm boring?
I just said, are you okay with being boring? You just said, I'm okay with being boring.
I am.
I don't believe you. I don't.
Oh, because I'm all scrunched up like
that? No, I just don't believe you.
No, I'm not okay being boring.
Okay.
Because I don't know. I don't know if you're kidding with me.
I'm being serious.
No, I don't know.
You do know. I'm telling you right now. You're boring and you're not okay with it. Say that. That would make you fucking less boring.
Oh, well, now who's the guidance counselor?
Yes.
You know what, Kathy? I was really looking forward to you coming back. You think I'm full of shit?
To a funeral?
Yes.
Yeah.
I was waiting for her to die so we could get together. Yes, I was.
Why couldn't you just fucking contact me?
Because I'm afraid.
Yes. Because you're afraid.
Yes.
Why? Don't fucking think about it.
I'm not thinking about it. I'm afraid to tell you.
What? You don't know.
I know, Kathy. I'm attracted to you.
Stop it.
I've always been attracted to you. Why do you think I'm on so many medications? Why do you think I'm on my third marriage?
It's just an excuse. I'm sure it's something that one of your therapists said.
I don't have any therapists anymore.
You should.
Oh, thanks. Every therapist that said I was crazy because I'm in love with my sister, they said, this is wrong. And you know what I did? I fired them.
You don't fire therapists, you just stop going. I think you're saying this if you're not boring.
Oh my God. Get the time. You really no. You are attracted to me.
No.
You're attracted. Fuck you. You're attracted to me.
Oh, I am?
Yeah. The tongue? What's the tongue? And the eyes and all the sparkling, the blushing.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. Every time I had a girlfriend in high school, you'd get jealous.
I don't know. I was so young. I don't remember.
Oh, now you're just gonna pretend.
No, I'm not. I really think. Okay, even if we were attracted to each other, who fucking cares? That happens all the time in the animal kingdom. There's something more here, something more human that you keep running away from. I'm sorry, but it's true. And you don't want to hear it.
Okay, fine. I'm open to it.
No, you're not.
Oh, then tell me.
You're boring and just say you're afraid of being boring. We used to all call you boring. When we were kids.
Okay.
I would rather be accused of having sex with my brother than be accused of being boring.
So you're an artist. Probably inspired
you. You're the same way.
What do you mean I'm the same
you're
way?
You're more afraid of being boring than anything else. Admit it!
It would make you so happy, wouldn't
yes!
it?
Yes!
If I said I was boring.
No, that you're afraid of being boring.
What's the difference?
There's a difference.
Oh my, show me. Show me.
No, I can't show you. It's fucking in there.
Okay, I'm afraid of being boring.
Yes.
Dad was boring.
No! Say it again.
I'm afraid of being boring.
But really, feel it.
Oh my God. This is worse than therapy. I'm afraid of being boring. I'm afraid of being boring. I'm afraid of being boring. I am afraid of being boring. I am terrified of being boring. And you, you're afraid of me.
You can walk up to anybody and tell them they're boring.
and they wouldn't react because they're so boring.
Now I'm confused. I don't know if I'm not boring or afraid to be boring.
That's why
you were projecting
no,
at me.
No, you're boring because you're thinking. That's why you're so boring. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah. I got it.
So just feel boring. No.
No.
Just feel boring.
A hard time just feeling more.
It shouldn't be that hard.
I know, I've been doing it my whole life. And now when you put me on the spot being boring, I'm not boring.
Just being boring. Okay. No, you are boring. You're not
okay,
letting yourself feel it.
Thank you for the affirmation. I appreciate it.
Just
hard.
Let yourself feel boring.
Okay.
And then as soon as you feel boring, let all that fear really come up. No, don't think.
It's hard.
I know.
It's hard. I've used boring to block out other feelings my whole life.
Just be boring. No, wait. When I say be boring, you go, okay, let me be boring. You just have to be. Be boring. Be you. Just be you. Okay. Be boring.
There.
And now think about how disappointing that is to everybody, how boring you are. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like the worst feeling in the world is to be boring, right?
Yeah.
Why won't you let yourself feel boring?
Because I still want her approval.
So... sometimes I wish you would die so that I could be free.
You wish I?
She would die so that I would be free. But then I just realized that it's not her.
You make it very hard for me to be intimate with you. Do you know that? To show any sort of feeling. Since we were a little kid, you would always make fun of it.
I know.
This is hard for me.
No, it's not. If it was hard, you wouldn't be so boring if it was really hard.
Fuck you. Okay. I love that laugh. I do.
No, you don't, because you have no reaction. If you really loved it, you wouldn't say anything.
This is a hard, Kathy. This is a hard time for me.
No, it's not. You don't even look like it.
Why do I have to convince you how I'm feeling?
Don't convince me.
I'm trying to convince you.
You just said why. Why don't you pull your shit together? It'd be real boring.
I am. Do you?
I'm being sarcastic.
I know.
It's your mom's funeral and you can't even fucking cry.
Did you come here to shame me? Because
no.
That's how I feel.
I don't believe you.
I'm jealous of that you can have so many emotions. And I'm just sealed off.
That's your choice.
It's not that easy.
Oh, really?
Really.
What do you have to do to let go?
I don't know.
Have you ever been on a roller coaster ride?
No.
Never?
No. Yes, I was.
And would you do hold on the whole time and scream?
Yeah.
Why'd you go on in the first place? You thought the roller coaster ride teach you how to live?
Yeah. Stupid. I didn't want... you know what? I feel like I can't say anything.
Why?
Because I'm going to be judged. You're not feeling. You're feeling boring. Yeah, I don't believe you.
So feel judged.
You going to give me a ride to Mom's house?
But it won't solve any of your problems.
I'm not looking to solve my problems.
Oh, you're not? You should be. because someday you're going to end up in there.
Well, we're all going to end up in there.
Yeah, not that one. But yeah, we're all going to end up dead. So don't you want to be just a little out of control before that happens?
Yeah.
So how are you going to let yourself be out of control?
These are paints from your room. I want to paint something on Mom's forehead.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, go for it. Maybe it will make you feel something.
Improv. Improv.
Oh my God.
Very meta.
All right, so so much. How do you access your emotions in a scene like that? That was my life, by the way. So I'm
really?
Gonna, yes. How do you do that?
How do I do it?
Mm-hmm.
I think the easiest way sometimes is believing that it's true.
Mm-hmm.
That's one way. Another way is by just constantly breathing and like breathing into your tension, because tension will block everything, so you don't have to feel.
Mm-hmm.
So when you start to have that feeling of feeling sad, you breathe into that place.
Okay.
I think all of us have that thing. The minute we start to feel, we are so good at turning it off.
Right.
That I love that feeling of once you start to feel it, you let it go. So like in life, if somebody on the train stepped on your foot, you might start to feel pissed, but in life, we kind of have to be like, okay, we can't get pissed and yell. Mm-hmm. So we're so good at being able to stifle it. But at home, I try not to. At home, in the privacy of my house, if I feel like if I'm watching something and it tickles me or it makes it so beautiful, it makes me cry, I try to let myself cry.
Because
I didn't cry really for the first 18 years of my life. So this is like a really fun journey.
That's great, because I'm still working on crying. I was, in that scene, I was scared and I was totally shut off. And I think you were addressing it. And
it was very meta.
Meta meaning?
Like, we were actually dealing with what we were dealing with.
Right.
Yeah.
And I felt really frustrated, and I think you did too. I'm not going to project on you.
Yeah.
I felt really frustrated, like, I'm not giving her enough. I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like, I feel like the teacher matters more than the art form. Like, you can use Meisner or Adler or Strasberg or clown stuff, Lecoq stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I've had different teachers that teach you how to access that, like as it's happening, to be able to be hypersensitive and react off of everything so that the energy keeps going. But I've worked with people who don't feel anything, and sometimes that's its own fuel, because I'm like, feel something! You're fucking doing this to yourself, which makes me feel something.
Right.
So, I mean, but I also think that's fun to push each other, because I've had people push me and I'm thankful for it.
Okay. Because I felt pushed.
Yeah, and you should feel pushed, because like the journey is to have a real emotional experience. Like, it's like we're kind of treating ourselves like puppets, you know?
Uh-huh.
And so we're pulling our own strings.
Right.
Which is really fun. But most people are like, nah, I don't want to pull strings. It's weird and uncomfortable to be emotional. I'm like, you probably shouldn't be an actor then. You know?
Yes. I'm feeling a lot of shame right now.
No!
So let's go to
the...
Let's see if they have some questions for us, what they just saw.
I know that I say this to myself, too.
Right.
Like, how do I get better at pulling those strings?
Oh, my God. That was... Okay. So we're going to go get some questions and answers for what we just did, and the lights are up. So, yes.
Oh, what you just did?
Oh, do you have another question? Please.
I was just going to ask about your training, like when you realized you wanted to do improv, like how that kind of... Sorry.
Yeah. Like when I in college, stumbled upon an improv audition, and I jumped in, and then I was like, this is all you guys do? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, this is awesome. So I kind of started doing it in college, and then a bunch of my friends from college moved to Chicago, and they're like, this is the capital of improv, you got to move out here. So.
And then where did you go to college?
UMass Amherst.
Okay.
So now all those guys own a theater out in Santa Monica.
Oh, Mission Improvable.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Rob.
What do you ask of yourself to reach your full potential on stage?
What do I ask of myself? That's a good question.
I think honestly, most recently, it's like to be brave, because I think you look so out of control and like a mad person when you're emotional. And in our culture, it's not really like a valued attribute to be emotional. You would be like, oh, I gotta meet my friend Jenny, she's so emotional. Like, nobody would ever really boast about that. But yet, really, that is our currency in this artwork. It's not it's not the only thing, but to be available, and part of being available is to be emotional, to react. And I see a lot of, especially improv, because I watch improv the most, I see a lot of improv that's all of the same feel. It's very smart, very cerebral. And I think there's something to be said about that improv. I think it's really cool. But there's so little of the reactionary improv, the improv that really is people dealing with the charge that lives inside of them, so that if you, like I said, if you watched it behind a piece of glass, you would care, you know, something a little more primal and dealing with the humanity of what we're doing, that I'm more interested in that. So I find that groups I love to watch are either really emotionally available or very connected, because if they're connected truly as friends, they are reacting off of each other. Even if it's underneath the character, you see the actor being tickled, and I love that. So I'm okay. When people are best friends, I'll watch them all day long, because you're truly watching for what's happening underneath, and that's the fun part. So sorry, I went off on a tangent, but be brave. To be brave.
Tracy, and brave, were you going to say Tracy?
Tracy Morton, Amy Morton just recently said in
from
an interview.
From Steppenwolf, big director.
She was saying the most important word that she could think of more recently in acting is bravery or courage. She's like, that's one of the most important words that people don't talk about in acting. They're like, you got to be smart or whatever. And it's like, there's a lot of smart people. I don't really want to like, you know, there's so many smart people in the world doing awesome things in like science and literature.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, actors, of course, are smart. But we're brave. You know?
Yes.
Astronauts and actors.
Are the two bravest people we know.
I think those are the brave careers.
Yes. One more question? Yes.
So when you enter a scene and you enter it allowing yourself to be emotionally available, stepping out, you're going to encounter any number of scenarios, some of which might not... There might not be much for you to react to, and so what do you have a plan B, or what path do you take?
That's a good question. I don't usually walk on and go like, I'm going to be emotional in this scene. This tonight we were purposely trying to be emotional,
right.
But I'm lucky with the group that generally we try to all play reactionary. It's not like we cry every show, but we are open to if that happens for real. I'm not in a group where people are like, are you crying for real right now? Like, there's none of that. But I have had people in other groups do that. Be like, are you really crying? Like, in the middle of a show, because they're so thrown by something real, and you're like, oh, that's unfortunate. Because I've seen TJ and Dave shows where they cry, and I cry in the audience, and then in a split second, I'm laughing the hardest I've ever had. And it's the same with Osage County. Did you see that?
Yes.
Like, I feel like I was, tears were still on my face, and then I was, like, belly laughing. Or Breaking Bad. I go back and forth in that show. Like, I'll be crying and then laughing from this deep place that was inside me. And that's the work I'm interested in doing. But when I go to do an improv show, I just go, I'm open if it goes there, which is fun, because then sometimes it throws you when it does go really deep, and you're like, oh, this feels so good to crack open. It feels like you're cracking open layers in the scene. But if it doesn't go that way, then you play a different direction, you know, you just play it a different way. There's ways to be available and vulnerable physically and emotionally, you know. There's ways to be vulnerable vocally, and there's so many different ways to be vulnerable that doesn't always mean, like, the way we saw it now.
So when you came into this scene, what was going on?
Nothing. I just knew it was a funeral, so I had this sort of sadness.
Okay. And that's what you started with. Just mm-hmm. And it just kept intensifying, or?
Yeah, but then I think there were some things in the scene that kind of pulled me out of it.
Okay.
Did you feel that too? Like every once in a while you'd start to feel sad or start to feel something, and
right.
then it would feel kind of like, oh, wait a minute, we're kind of playing a game a little bit. All right, we'll play a game, and then...
What is that? Like in Nancy, I was like, oh, we didn't really find a game. Is the game that important? Everybody talks about the game. You got to find the game. Is it?
Well, I mean, I think games come up. Games are a part of any sort of theatrical art form.
Okay, so in this scene, what was the game, you think?
Well, I mean, there are different types of games.
Okay.
You know, like, eventually it became kind of me calling you out. The biggest game was me calling you out.
Okay.
And then that made you frustrated. And then that kept coming back, the idea of being boring.
Okay.
But, you know, there are all sorts of games happening, I guess.
Because it seems like today, like, everybody's just so focused on the game, I think they leave everything else.
I think you can have both.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think you can have both. I think when you're truly emotional and connected and you have a want, a game is born. Different games are born of that moment.
Right.
But the only dilemma is when you play the game first and you don't actually have a dimensional character that has a want, you only have a game.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd rather play the character and then a game will, different games will be born. Because there's never one game. I think that's so wild. And you're like, watch the scene. You're like, what to pretend, what's the one game that could come out? You're like, are you for real? There's
right.
a million games. Yeah, you could do the most obvious one that comes out at the very top.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, you could do more obvious ones. Yeah, do games sooner than later, but make sure they're of your character's want, I think.
Okay. One last question before you go. Why do such pretty improvisers always have to play ugly on stage?
I don't know.
Okay.
I think it's fun to be ugly. You know, I think there's something innately funny about ugliness.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's really fun to be ugly. But I'll say this, it's tiring sometimes to play ugly.
Right.
Like, I'll play these ugly characters out in the world and people will treat you really badly
mm-hmm.
when you're grotesque. And I mean, grotesque is like a style of clown.
Okay.
Grotesque clown. But recently I played pretty.
Mm-hmm.
I put on a blonde wig and I wore like tight clothes and I went out to do the stand-up act. It was a little like Andy Kaufman-esque where I went up and played drunk. And in the lobby, someone was terrible to me. He came up to me and told me he hated me and that I thought I was so hot and that I had fake boobs. So it can go, it was really funny. I was like, I felt like calling Norm and being like, I tried to play pretty and it's still, people were still terrible to me. Sorry, that was just a random story of like,
that,
right. It was crazy. I was like, I can't win. But I think it's just fun. The grotesque is really fun. Because the truth of the matter is, I think as human beings, we're constantly attracted to people. That's
mm-hmm.
just how we're hardwired, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's to procreate. And I feel like comedy is, sounds so lame, but it's more spiritual than that. You know? So in order to get to that spiritual level, like monks wear these big robes so that they're not distracted by the primal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe that's what we're doing, is we're kind of covering ourselves up so we can play in what it feels to be a human versus, like, what it, kind of making fun of the human experience, making it light, so that we're not in that mode of wanting to fuck each other the whole time. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I think it's totally cool. Like, I think we're all animals, personally.
Okay.
I think we're all animals. But if we have a moment to be spiritual, why don't we?
Speaking of spiritual... You are, I've never seen anybody so positive and never say a bad thing about anybody.
Oh.
Who do you hate? There's got to be one person.
Oh, God.
Either dead or alive.
That's a really good question. I don't know. I don't know if I hate anyone. But I'll tell you this.
Okay.
When that guy came up to me at the lobby a few weeks ago, and he was like, oh, and he was really aggressive to me.
Mm-hmm.
I had that moment of like, I should take off. I should leave. Because, I mean, he was just like, oh, look at this bimbo kind of at it, you know? And
right.
I was like, and then I decided, it was like that split second moment where you're like, your heart starts racing. And you just feel like he's accomplishing what he wants. He's making me feel small.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was like, well, I don't have to let anyone to make me feel small. So then I just kept on saying to him, you and I obviously have a very deep connection, don't we? He's like, you feel it too. I just kept on going, what are my chances of going home with you tonight? Like, I just wrote him. I just kept saying that. And he was like, and then he said he was going to punch me in the cunt. And I wasn't afraid. Like, I think there's that part of me that's growing up that isn't afraid of violence anymore. And part of it's from doing physical comedy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not afraid of violence. And maybe because I'm more physical and I work out more, that I'm like, go for it. Like, I'm not worried.
Mm-hmm. What about angry? I never see you angry. Do you ever get angry?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I get angry sometimes, I guess. I just not like a yeller. I'm just, my mother was a little out of control, and so I think I was just like, I'm never gonna.
In what way?
Just angry.
Like a rager?
Mm-hmm. And so I was just like, so I'm learning how to deal with my anger in a way. So it's been good to be in a committed relationship where we talk things out and I can get angry because he's in it to win it. He's in it forever?
You're far more advanced than I am.
Really?
I'm still dealing with the anger thing, yeah. It's hard to express anger.
Yeah, so I feel like with him, with my fiancé, I can finally express it because he's in it for the long haul.
Did you go the opposite? Your mom was always angry, so you're not going to be angry?
Yes, and that's a problem. It's not, it's so terrible for you.
Yeah.
So bad for
you. It's awesome. It's terrible.
So yeah. I'm finally, at least I feel like really lucky with Brett where he doesn't, he still loves me even if I get angry, and it's awesome.
Well, I hope I can get a little of that because I'm terrified of that. Thank you. Jet Evelyn, thank you so much for being my guest. I really appreciate it.
Oh, I want to thank Jet very much, especially for the improv part, because I felt when I was doing that scene that I wasn't agreeing as much as I could have. She came on, and Jet is just such a wonderful improviser and is so committed to her characters. And she came with this very, very forceful character. And when you're faced with something like that, it's really important to be hypersensitive to really, really, really agree. And I just love to hear all her philosophies about improvisation and how she really, she's truly one of the great artists here in Chicago, always trying new things and applying new things to her craft. If you want to catch her, here in Chicago, the best place to catch her would be IO Chicago, where she plays with the Herald Team, The Reckoning, and the musical improv, The Deltones. But before we go, I'd like to also thank my producer, Ben Cabrero, and all the good people here at Stage 773 who makes this wonderful home here for Improv Nerd. And if you want to check us out, you can go to Facebook and like us, Improv Nerd, or you can go to JimmyCarain.com. Until next time, this is Jimmy Carain saying thanks for listening.
Let's say Seinfeld was on an island, yeah, and he was blowing Boris Karloff. What would that be like?
It might go something like this. Oh, Mr. Karloff, I loved you in Frankenstein, and I love giving you a blowjob. Why, Mr. Seinfeld, I love having you